Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mulana Muhammad. An-Nabiyyil Mujahid al-Shahid. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina saru sayrahu wa jahadu fillahi haqqa jihadihi hatta atahumul yaqin amma ba'd. When Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu left Medina Munawwara, he wrote a letter to the different commanders in Sham, asking them to appoint deputies in their place and to meet him in Jabiya. When Umar radiallahu anhu reached here, he reached in his very simple manner, and the various commanders came to meet him. Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and later on Sayyiduna Shurahbil bin Hasana and Sayyiduna Amr bin As radiallahu anhuma also came. When Umar radiallahu anhu came here, obviously it was a very historic moment and a very joyous occasion, because this is the first time that Amirul Mu'mineen is traveling to the newly liberated and the newly conquered lands, and he is meeting with these very close friends of his after a very long time. So it was a very auspicious moment. However, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he reached there and he had hardly met them, he noticed that some of the commanders were wearing some type of silken cloth. So Umar radiallahu anhu was upset that how can they be wearing this kind of garment. So he bent down to pick up stones. So they ask, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, what are you doing?" He says, "Sar'ana ma lafattum an ra'ikum." So quickly you have changed your ways. So quickly you have changed your ways. Iyaya tastaqbiluna fi hadha zi. Are you welcoming me in this kind of attire? Innama shabi'tum mundhu sanatain. It's only 2 years that you are here, and you've already suffered indigestion with the culture of this land. You already cannot manage. You have already adopted the culture of these people. Now who are these people here he is addressing? He is addressing senior sahaba. Sayyiduna Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu and these other great sahaba radiallahu anhum. And he is reprimanding them. It was the moment of happiness. But Umar radiallahu anhu understood that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and upholding deen is more important. Thereafter he goes on to say to them, وَتَاللَّهِ لَوْ فَعَلْتُمُوهَا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ الْمِئَتَيْنِ لَاسْتَبْدَلْتُ بِكُمْ غَيْرَكُمْ. By the qasam of Allah, if you were living here for 200 years, if you were living in this land for 200 years, and after 200 years you change your ways, then I would have removed you from your position and I would have replaced you. Meaning even if you spend 200 years in a foreign culture, you are not supposed to be changing your ways and adopting that culture, because you have the best role model before you, the best example, the example of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have that sunnah. How can you adopt any other way? This is very these are very profound words of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that the importance of holding on to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not getting affected by foreign cultures, by foreign ways, and by foreign habits and styles. However, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu explained to him that they had a valid reason. They had a valid reason to wear this kind of cloth, and this is permissible during war because of the weapons that they had on them. They needed to wear that kind of cloth. Therefore, when Umar radiallahu anhu heard the explanation, then he says, "Fana'am idan." Then I accept this excuse and this reasoning of yours, and it's fine for you to be dressing in this manner. When Umar radiallahu anhu reached here, as we explained, it was a very historic moment, meeting now the Muslim army that Allah had blessed with victory. And these were those people that brought the superpower of the time to their knees. So Umar radiallahu anhu gave a khutbah, a very historic khutbah, a lengthy khutbah, in which he first praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He He sends salawat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he addresses this army and he says, Ya Ahlul Islam, Inna Allah qad sadaqakum al-wa'd wa nasarakum al-a'da. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled His promise to you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped you against the enemy. Wa awrathakum al-bilad wa makkana lakum fil ard. Allah has made you in charge of this land. Allah has given you authority in this land. فَلَا يَكُنْ جَزَاءُ رَبِّكُمْ إِلَّا الشُّكْرَ. So, when Allah has favored you in this way, then the only way you're supposed to be repaying this favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by making shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the favor of Allah increases, then your shukr needs to increase. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْعَمَلَ بِالْمَعَاصِي. And be careful of committing sins. فَإِنَّ الْعَمَلَ بِالْمَعَاصِي كُفْرٌ لِلْنِعَمِ. Because committing sins is disappreciating and is being ungrateful to the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So appreciation to the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that you stay away from all type of sin. وَقَلَّمَا كَفَرَ قَوْمٌ بِمَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَفْزَعُوا إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ إِلَّا سُلِبُوا عِزَّهُمْ وَسُلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَدُوُهُمْ. And he says, whenever a nation is ungrateful to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not make tawbah for this ingratitude of theirs, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away their honor and their respect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imposes an enemy over them. Very, very profound words of Umar radiallahu anhu on this very historic moment. And understanding the context of this khutbah and this journey of Umar radiallahu anhu, where is he going? He is going to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. That which is the most burning desire in the heart of every believer today, that Masjid al-Aqsa must be liberated. And there's so much of sacrifice that's been given currently for the liberation of Masjid al-Aqsa. This is Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, whom Allah blessed to be the first liberator and the first conqueror of this ummah, who had conquered and liberated Masjid al-Aqsa. And these are the words that Umar radiallahu anhu is mentioning. Thereafter he gave many advices. Some of the advices, very pertinent advices. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, aslihu sarairakum, tasluh alaniyatukum. O people, rectify your internal self. Your external issues and your external affairs will be taken care of. Generally what happens is our focus is on the appearance. We must look good. It's not about looking good, it's about being good. The heart may be something else, but the appearance, apparently we must give a good face. Umar radiallahu anhu is saying that the more important, the focal point has to be the internal self. Correct the inside, the external self will automatically thereafter follow the internal self. It does not mean that a person must not make an effort to bring the sunnah in his external self. But Umar radiallahu anhu is explaining that a person should not neglect the internal self. The focus should be the internal self, and the external self will thereafter follow. Thereafter he says, اِعْمَلُوا لِآخِرَتِكُمْ تُكْفُوا أَمْرَ دُنْيَاكُمْ. That your primary concern and your primary area of effort should be your akhirat. That make effort for your akhirat. Do actions for your akhirat. تُكْفُوا أَمْرَ دُنْيَاكُمْ. Your dunya will be taken care of. Again, here we get it wrong. That our whole focus is dunya. Our whole effort is dunya. And we say, akhirat Allah is ghafurur rahim. That will get sorted out. It's the opposite. The whole focus has to be akhirat. Dunya, we make minimal effort. And Allah will take care of our dunya. But our focus has to be akhirat. The third advice he gives is, لا يخلون أحدكم بمرأة فإن الشيطان ثالثهما. That a person should never be in seclusion with a woman. A strange woman who it is permissible for him to marry, that for a person should never be, he should never be in seclusion with a woman, because shaitan is the third one, and shaitan will definitely try to create fitna and instill filthy thoughts in the mind and cause the person to do some type of sin. One is physical seclusion, which obviously was what Umar radiallahu anhu was speaking about. But today we live in a world of or in a digital world, where there can be digital seclusion as well. via social media, chatting with a female. This is something which is very, very dangerous. And thereafter, there can be very serious consequences. The fourth advice Umar radiallahu anhu gives, مَنْ سَرَّتْهُ حَسَنَتُهُ وَسَاءَتْهُ سَيِّئَتُهُ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ He gives a gauge of iman. And if a person wants to know whether he has iman or not, then the gauge of iman is when he does some good, then it brings happiness to his heart. That when he performs his salah, when he recites the Quran and Majid, when he does some type of good, then he feels some type of satisfaction. Not that he becomes proud. He doesn't become proud. But he feels happy that Allah has blessed me with the opportunity of doing and carrying out this good action. And at the same time, sa'athu sayyi'atuhu. If he ends up doing some sin, some wrong, he slips in some haram, then this thereafter makes him restless. It affects him. It makes him feel bad. Then this is a sign of a person's iman. If a person does guna, he does sin, and it doesn't affect him, it doesn't make a difference to him, then the sign is that his iman is not in order. The fifth advice, أُوْسِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ الَّذِي يَبْقَى وَيَفْنَى مَا سِوَى. This was the standard advice of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and of the people of the past, that I advise you to hold firmly to the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness, the consciousness and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will stop a person from violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says that Allah is that being, that Allah will remain and everything else will come to an end, everything else will perish. The sixth advice that Umar radiallahu anhu gives, inna ahaqqa ma ta'ahada ar-ra'i min ra'iyatihi ay yata'ahadahum bima lillahi alayhim min wadha'ifi dinihim. A very, very relevant advice of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says that when Allah gives someone a position, when Allah makes someone in charge, here he was speaking to commanders, he was speaking to people that have become governors, and he was speaking to them, but this applies to any person who is in a leadership position. Even the father in the home, he has a leadership position. So he says that a person whom Allah has given some position, then the most important right that his subjects have over him, the most important right that his subjects have over him, and the most important thing that he needs to focus on, is that he needs to ensure that they fulfill their dini obligations. The dini obligations that his subjects have. In the case of these people, they were governors and they had subjects under them. In our case, we are the head of the home and we have the family under us. The most important obligation of this person who is in charge is he must ensure that his subjects are fulfilling their dini obligation. What an important advice of Umar radiallahu anhu. So one is a father is concerned that my children must eat well, my children must dress well. When they are sick, they must take their medication, etc. These are important aspects. But Umar radiallahu anhu says more important than all of this is for the father to ensure that his children are fulfilling their dini obligation. Are they performing their 5 daily salah? Are they saving themselves from wrong, from haram? Are they getting involved in something wrong? So these kind of things, dini obligations, this is extremely important for the person who is in that leadership position to ensure. It was the time of salah that had come. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that were there, they came and requested Umar radiallahu anhu that Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu is here. It is a very joyous occasion, a historic occasion. Since the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have not heard that melodious voice of Bilal radiallahu anhu calling out the adhan. So please request Bilal radiallahu anhu to call out the adhan. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Bilal, ala tu'adhdhinu lana? O Bilal, will you call out the adhan for us? Obviously he could not instruct him. He was a great sahabi, so he requests him. O Bilal, will you call out the adhan for us today? It's a very special occasion. So Bilal radiallahu anhu responds and he says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ama wallah, ma aradtu an u'adhina li ahadin ba'da Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, my desire was, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I wanted to give adhan for no one else. The one I used to give adhan for was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that he's gone from the world, I made up my mind, I'm not going to call out the adhan for anyone else. However, since you have requested me, and it's a once-off request, So I will obey you and I will call out the adhan. And then Bilal radiallahu anhu calls out the adhan. Imagine the feelings of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, listening to those, to that voice that took them back to the glorious days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when that adhan used to be called out, and when they used to ya ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, they had the privilege of glancing on the Mubarak countenance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that same voice is there, the same words are there, but that personality is not there. Sahaba radiallahu anhum begin to cry, remembering the glorious days of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَبَكَوْ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا They cried profusely to such an extent that Aslam rahimahullah, who was the slave of Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, فَلَمْ أَرَى يَوْمًا أَكْثَرَ بَاكِيًا مِنْهُ In my entire life, I did not see people cry like I saw them crying on that day. From among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, obviously those that would have been closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be affected the most. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, these senior Sahaba, they cried for the longest period thereafter, until Umar radiallahu anhu had to stop them and comfort them, saying to them, Hasbukuma, it's enough now, now you can stop crying. Whilst Umar radiallahu anhu was here in Jabia, there were many things that had taken place, and one very interesting incident that had happened, which was actually linked to an incident that took place many years prior, in the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. So before Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu had traveled with a group of traders of the Quraysh to Damascus and to Syria. They would travel often to this land, إِلَى فِيهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ They would travel once a year to Sham and once a year to Yemen. And this is how they would do their trade. And this was their source of income. So Umar radiallahu anhu traveled to Damascus. After the caravan completed their work and they departed, Umar radiallahu anhu still had some leftover work. So he decided that he is going to stay behind and he will catch up with the caravan. Whilst he was there, one Roman commander, a person who had some type of authority there, he gets hold of Umar radiallahu anhu. He grabs him by the neck. Umar radiallahu anhu tried to break loose but he could not. He grabs him by his neck and he takes him into a house or in a property. He locks the door. There was sand they kept on one side. There was a spade. There was a bucket. And he instructs Umar radiallahu anhu that all the sand, you need to carry it from this side and place it on that side. And then he leaves from there locking the door. He locks Umar radiallahu anhu for half a day there. Obviously Umar radiallahu anhu was not a person who could be subjected to this kind of thing. This kind of hard work. So he didn't do anything. When that person comes back after half a day, so he reprimands Umar radiallahu anhu for not carrying out the work that he assigned to him. Umar radiallahu anhu takes the spade and he strikes him and he kills this person. After killing him, he runs out of this property. Obviously, he did something very serious, he needed to get out from there very quickly. And as he leaves, he passes by a monastery where there was a monk. So he goes to that monastery, he sits there. The monk feels sorry for him, he feeds him, he gives him something to drink, and then he stares at Umar radiallahu anhu. After looking at Umar radiallahu anhu very nicely, he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, he asks Umar radiallahu anhu firstly, that who are you, where are you from? When Umar radiallahu anhu gives him the details, he says to Umar radiallahu anhu that the Christians all know that I am the most learned with regards to the scriptures. From all the Christians, I have the most amount of knowledge regarding the Christians. And I am sensing that you will be the one who will banish us from this land. Now where is Umar bin Khattab? One person in Makkah Mukarrama. The Quraysh had no position at that time. They were not a superpower. And he is being told that you are going to banish the Christians from their land. From their territory. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, and then he goes on to say, so I want you to sign an amnesty document for me. That the day you banish the people from this land, I will have asylum and protection and amnesty. Umar radiallahu anhu says to him, Ya hadha, laqad lahabta ghayra madhab. You are talking all different things. It doesn't make sense. You're talking far-fetched things. Far-fetched things you are talking. Where am I? to banish you from your land. But he insisted, I want this document. So Umar radiallahu anhu signed the document, not thinking much about it. Never mind, this man is insisting, I'll sign the document for him. He gave Umar radiallahu anhu his donkey to ride. He says, ride on my donkey. When you reach your companions, then you must send the donkey back. And this donkey is such that when it's sent back, then every monastery that it passes by, they will recognize this donkey and they will take care of this donkey. So this donkey will somehow reach me. Now when Umar radiallahu anhu is here in Jabia, many years later, this monk comes. And he comes with this amnesty document. He shows Umar radiallahu anhu that this is what you signed. Umar radiallahu anhu recognizes this document. He approves the document. Obviously he kept to his word. Although it was pre-Islam. And this shows that in the scriptures it was already recorded. That Umar radiallahu anhu will be the one who will liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. Even Artabun, he said that the person who will liberate is a person who has three letters in his name. Umar, not Amr. And they were confident about that. So they knew that Umar radiallahu anhu will be the one who will conquer this land. Umar radiallahu anhu approved that document. And he added one condition, that any Muslim that passes by your monastery, you must host him, and then if he requires any directions, then you should give him directions as well. There was another very famous incident that had taken place during the journey of Umar radiallahu anhu. Either when he reached Jabia or when he left from Jabia and he was traveling to Masjid al-Aqsa to Baytul Muqaddas. On one of these two legs of the journey, this incident had taken place where Umar radiallahu anhu, traveling again in the simple manner of his, he comes to a stream and he needed to cross that stream. Umar radiallahu anhu dismounts his conveyance and in a very simple manner, because this is who Muslims are simple people, in a simple manner, he removes his footwear and he holds it in his hand and he holds the reins of his conveyance and he now enters into that stream, walking through that stream. Who is he? The commander, he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen, coming to liberate this land. But in the simple manner he walks through the stream. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, who was now in charge of this entire land, he says to Umar radiallahu anhu, قَدْ صَنَعْتَ الْيَوْمَ صَنِيعًا عَظِيمًا عِنْدَ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, obviously with respect, they had that kind of rapport, that kind of friendly relationship. They were very close friends. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu enjoyed a very close relationship. So, he says to him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have come here for a very important work. You have come to liberate this land. You are going to sign the document that will secure Masjid al-Aqsa for us. The behavior that you have now displayed is something that the people of this land, they don't approve of this kind of behavior. They feel this to be very lowly behavior. That how can a person be conducting himself in this manner? It was on this occasion that Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned those very historic words of his. He struck Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu in his chest. Again, he was his friend. He never expected his friend to say something like this. And he says, لو غيرك يقولها يا أبا عبيدة. O Abu Ubaidah, if someone else besides you said these words, I would have expected it. I don't expect you to say something like this. Being that great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a man of such high position, I do not expect you to say something like this. And then he said, إنكم كنتم أذل الناس وأحقر الناس وأقل الناس. Remember, you were so disgraced. The Quraysh and the Arabs were people who were backward. No one wanted to rule over them. You were so disgraced. You were so few in number. فَعَزَّكُمُ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. And then obviously when they accepted Islam, then they were so few in number as well. And Allah blessed you with izzat and honor with through Islam. The izzat that you see now, that the land of the Romans now has come under your command. And all these futuhat, all these victories that Allah has blessed you with, these victories and this izzat and honor has come only through Islam. Not through anything else. It is only through Islam that Allah has blessed you with this izzat and honor. فَمَهْمَا تَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِهِ يُذِلَّكُمُ اللَّهِ. And he says, if you have to look for izzat and honor in things other than Islam, in ways other than Islam, To put it into context, if you have to look for it in adopting the styles and ways and culture of your enemy, feeling that by us adopting their ways and following them and aping them, we will get our izzat and our honor. In us fulfilling their whims and fancies, in us surrendering and succumbing to their demands, we will get our izzat and honor. He says, yudhillakumullah, Allah will disgrace you all. The disgrace will come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today the ummah is in a dilemma about the condition and pitiable state of the ummah. But if we have to look at the situation of the ummah, then wherever Allah is giving some type of honor and respect to the ummah, it is those people in this ummah that are holding firm onto Islam. In fact, an analyst wrote recently, he says that in the world there were many movements and there were many efforts made to liberate Muslim lands. He says, if you look, the only successful movements are those movements who had two parts in them. One was Al-Muqawama and the second was Al-Islamiyya. It was a resistance movement. It was not a movement that gave in to the demands of the enemy. It was not a movement that came up because of signing some UN charter or some type of clauses that because of UN we will get our rights. No, it's not because of that. There were movements who were regarded in our term, just to explain it further, they were movements that were regarded as terrorists. The whole world abandoned them. The whole world turned against them. Whether it be in Afghanistan, whether it be in Syria, whether it be in Gaza. These are people and groups that the whole world was against. But they held firm to this teaching of Islam of resistance. That we will resist, it is our dini right and our haq and an obligation that we need to resist. And the second aspect is Al-Islamiyya. They had Islam at the forefront and the goal and objective was Islam. When they had these two things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them izzat and Allah gave them honor. Even if you look at the Palestinian cause, you will find there are many movements. There is that faction that has turned against their own people. If we study what's going on in the West Bank, then the bigger problem in the West Bank is not the occupation, is not the enemy. It is Palestinians that are killing their own Palestinian brothers. The authority that's in charge there. And currently in Gaza is becoming the same thing, where they are now trying to instigate the people against Hamas. So, there are those people who tried to do some type of liberation movement for the Muslims without having Islam in the forefront. That was never successful. These are the words, historic words of Umar radiallahu anhu, that our izzat and honor will only and only come through holding firmly onto Islam. More than 1,400 years have passed and we're seeing the reality today. The reality of these words of Umar radiallahu anhu, this is on a global level. This is on a political scale. The same will apply in our personal lives. That if we look for izzat and honor in any other way, besides the way of Islam, besides the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will never be successful. We will never get our izzat and our honor. Our honor is in holding firm onto the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and on the teachings of Islam. Inshallah we will continue. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.